of Minnesota. So it wasn't all bad stuff, I guess. So we had to go through this. I tried my best to move him to what I would call real wrestling. Our neighbors at the time had two sons that were in high school at York High. And so I would take him to their real wrestling matches, and I got him involved in the youth wrestling league. Didn't pan out. Doesn't measure up to those wrestlers. He's kind of a leader too, and he got the other three kids that lived on Moss Avenue, our street there, and he got them involved, and they made posters and they made banners, and they would take a bedspread or something, some sort of blanket out in the backyard, and that would be their wrestling ring, and they would do all this fancy wrestling stuff or try to imitate the guys on TV. They even made a cardboard belt that was the champion belt, and they were really into it. They love that wrestling, WWF. And they formed the MAWF, Moss Avenue Wrestling Federation. So we had that right on the street. As we look at our scripture this morning, as was read, let me see if I get this right. Oh, there we go. It's the story of the tale or the account of Jacob in his wrestling with God. So let's take a little bit of background here and think about what's going on. You may remember that there was a falling out between Jacob and Esau because Jacob was conniving, and he kind of stole or manipulated the birthright away from Esau so he would have it. And this made Esau rather angry. And he, along with his mother, manipulated his dad Isaac, and he got the blessing as well. And so, realizing what they had done, and perhaps with, I guess maybe Esau had a temper or something, they were concerned about Jacob's safety. So he heads up to his mother Rebekah's brother's home, which would have been way up at the top. Was in Haran, I think that's the way you would pronounce it. And so he went there, and he spent at least 15 years, because it took him 14 years to earn his two wives, perhaps longer. And then something begins to weigh on him that he realized he needs to come back down way to the south below Moab, where his brother Esau is living, and he needs to somehow make amends with his brother. And so he takes all the wealth that he has gained while he's been there with his uncle, and he heads south, going back to the land where he was born and grew up and where his brother currently existed. Now, what I wasn't able to figure out was he got the birthright. And the birthright basically means when there are a number of male children, they divide up the inheritance, and the oldest child gets an extra portion. And so, since there were only two children, the two boys, Jacob and Esau, whoever got the birthright would have gotten two-thirds of the inheritance, and the other son would have gotten one-third. So I don't know what's happened. Did Jacob, it doesn't say anything about taking his inheritance with him. He basically, was getting out of Dodge as fast as he could. And so was he coming back thinking maybe I don't think he was thinking, I'm going to come back to claim my inheritance. Nothing suggests that. But perhaps he was thinking in his mind, and he was wrestling with the thought that maybe Esau thinks I'm coming back to claim the two-thirds that I had swindled him away from him when I was there. So Jacob is heading back, going back to his home country, and I'm guessing there's a lot going on in his mind. How will I be accepted? What will Esau do? And so he sends some of his servants ahead with an offering of sheep and cows and goats, and sends them on ahead of him. And still he stays back with his wives and his stays back with his wives and his other children. And he at the river that's just kind of in the middle circle, the Yabbok River. And there he stays for a little bit of time. He says he sent his wives across the river, and he remains there alone for a while. And so that's just kind of the background where we are in the story. And of course, this is where it happens that he begins to wrestle with this angel. It does not really clear. He kind of says God at the end, thinking maybe it was God. We really don't know. Some sort of heavenly being. So my thesis for this morning is wrestling with God is an essential spiritual practice. Wrestling with God is an essential spiritual practice. Now, I grew up all through my Baptist years when I was a kid and the Mennonite years that I've been in ever since, practicing spiritual disciplines. But here I say practice. Well, I mean, there's a difference there for me. Discipline is something I kind of have to force myself to do. Practice is something that sort of comes naturally for me. So I want to make my wrestling with God to be something that happens without making myself do it. Let me give you an example of vegetables and fruits. I eat two bananas and an apple almost every single day. I eat fruit all the time, enjoy it, like it. Sometimes I'll go to the store and I'll see it's a spring, I'll get strawberries. Right now, this morning, I just cut up a watermelon, ate part of a watermelon. Love this time of year when the watermelons are around. Grapes in the fall. So whatever, you know, whatever the fruit is, and it's just something that happens. However, I have to discipline myself to eat vegetables because I'm not a big vegetable eater. I would say my favorite vegetable is corn that comes in the popped variety. So so I'm not a great vegetable eater, so I have reached that age where, you know, probably 40 years ago, I reached the age where I realized I need to eat vegetables, and I do that, but it's a discipline. I have to make myself do it. I want wrestling with God to be a practice, to be a practice that we do. So let's kind of look at wrestling with God and keep that in mind as we think through this account of Jacob wrestling with that angel or with God. There by the Yabbok River. So Jacob was left alone and wrestled with the man until daybreak. The first essential part of, to me, wrestling with God is finding, and I thought through this before, and I used alone because that's what the English translation of this scripture is, but I'm thinking more, maybe silence is a better description. We need times, if we're going to wrestle with God, we need times to kind of shut down those distractions around us, so that we can wrestle with the things that are important between us and God. And so shutting down maybe the phone, the television, the computer, whatever our distractions are, and just take a time to be quiet. And that may require some discipline, at least initially. Me, it happens on my walks. I have this a big old furry Labrador retriever, and we walk a couple times a day. And sometimes I'll have my music in, but most of the time I don't. That's my alone time. That's my silent time. And I try to make it a practice of working on the things that I'm working on. For the last 10 days or so during the walk, I've been wrestling with the scripture. So I'm wrestling with God. So they're So an important part of practicing or beginning to practice this discipline of wrestling with God is making sure we've created a space for that to happen. Second thing is naming it. The man asked him, "What is your name?" Now, when we begin to wrestle with things, it's important we know what it is with which we are wrestling. With me over the past couple of weeks, it's been scripture. I'm gonna a couple after I go through a couple more of these. I'm going to give a real life example of something that I've been wrestling with for a while. But it may be many things. It may be, I know the church oftentimes within the church body, there are things we might disagree on as a congregation. Well, it's time to wrestle with it. Might be within our families. One of the difficulties for me is I'm a pretty conservative person, scripturally. And just the way I was brought up with money and all. And I happen to have two very, very liberal children. And so we wrestle with stuff all the time, you know, because they bring me a different perspective and I've got to think about it. You know, I remember this was probably 6 or 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when my daughter introduced me to the term white privilege. And I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" And I wrestled with that for the last 6 or 7 years, trying to figure it out. I kind of grew up, you know, poor white trash in a way. And so, you know, I didn't see where there was anything special about white being white, the way I grew up anyway. So I've had to wrestle with that, just wrestling with it. So being able to name it, what is it that God has called me to wrestle or really brings me? When I think of scripture, the whole scripture is of people wrestling with God. It starts in my mind with Abram. And when he was first asked to make the sacrifice of his son, yeah, I bet he wrestled with that before he went up to the mount and was getting ready to build that fire. I think of Jesus when he says, "Let this cup pass from me." He was wrestling with God. Paul, when he was when he first got converted and God was calling him to go and confront the Jewish leaders, and he said, and in his mind, I've been persecuting them for all these years, and now you're going to make me go and be with them? They're going to kill me. They're going to kick me out. And he had to wrestle with that. So the scripture is just filled with examples. The Psalms, if you read the Psalms and look for people wrestling with God, it's all there. The whole Psalms, starting with one all the way through 150. They're wrestling with God. So being able to name it, what is it that we've been called to wrestle? And once we begin wrestling with it, don't let go until we bring it to resolution. And that may never happen. We may never resolve it in our minds, but God, I think, in the spiritual practice, we continue to wrestle with the essential elements in our life that bother us, that bother us. Whether it be scripture, as I was given the example of the scripture for today, or whether it be those everyday situations, sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's the difficulties we have in personal relationships. But wrestle with it. Don't let it go. And it may never get resolved, but keep working on it. Keep working on it. Spiritual practice. And finally, reaching a new identity. Because of this wrestling that we do with God on this spiritual practice, it changes who we are. Wrestling with God begins to mold us into something different, maybe that we did not expect, that what isn't natural to us. And I'd kind of like to walk you through, or I will walk you through, an example that I've been really wrestling with over the past year and a half, probably, maybe a little bit more. Now, I don't know how any of you guys that are married would rate yourself, but trying to be humble on the Yelp scale, I would rate myself as probably a 4.5-star husband, not quite a five. And probably I only say that because I'm trying to be humble. Really, I think I'm a five. And so that's where I am. But I would say probably, after almost 48 years of marriage, I realized I'm not a four. I may not even be a three. And what brought this to ahead was kind of the way I deal with life. You see, when I was a kid, and I remember in the third grade being first introduced, I don't know if they still teach this in school or not, being first introduced to math word problems, where you would have a word problem. The problem would be, written out in a paragraph rather than having, one plus one or whatever. And then you would kind of have to give you a word answer. And I loved it. I loved it. And then you get to geometry. And when all my friends seemed to be, "Oh man, I got to do these proofs." And I loved it. It was logic. You do this, you do this, and this, 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 and this. And I loved it. And so I was drawn to math and sciences because it was problem solving. When I got to college, this sounds really weird, but I really liked chemistry and physics because it was solving problems. You get into it and you tried to figure it out and tried to resolve it. And then I get into my job with Dominions, and for probably the first 5 or 6 or 7 years of my career, I was kind of getting used to it and figuring out where I fit, and the company was figuring out where to best fit me. But then probably the rest of my career was spent in troubleshooting and resolving problems. What I did, I guess I was pretty decent at it. I don't know if I'd have been a Yelp 4-star, but it was probably maybe a Yelp 3.5. I don't know. But I loved doing that. And so I bring this same zeal, the same ability, the same thing that I think I'm getting at, I bring it to my marriage. And I just want to solve all the problems. And I'm married to somebody who says I can solve my own problems. And I didn't even realize this for, like I said, 46, 47 years of our 48 plus year marriage. And so about a year and a half ago, with a lot of help, I came to realize that she really doesn't want me to solve her problems. It took me 47 years to figure that out. And so what she really wanted from me was just to be present, to hear her, to understand her, to listen to her. Now, I had learned a long time ago when we were talking, cut the TV off, shut the phone down, close the book, or whatever it was, stop working on what I was working on. I'd learned that. I learned that pretty early on. But I still wanted to solve the problem. And so I began, I said, I can't do this on my own. So I began working with a therapist. And the therapist brought this word to me called presence. You need to be present. You don't need to solve the problems. You don't need to give answers. You just need what your spouse is asking for you is to be heard. You would think I would have figured that out, sooner than 47 years, but I hadn't. And so I'm applying this process. Let's see if we can go back. Maybe not alone. Maybe I have had to figure this out alone. I have had to wrestle with it. And naming it, presence. It began to have a name for me. Presence. What does that mean? What does it mean to be present? And then not letting it go. And that's the tough part, because at least in my mind, once I learn something, oh, I got that, and I just kind of go on. But I can't let it go. It's not my nature. It's not who I am. So I have to really work at hanging on to and bringing myself back to, oh, I need to be present. I'm wrestling with it. I'm asking God for help. I'm going back to God. God, why did you make me like this? But this is what's really needed. And then a new identity. Can I begin to identify, become a person that my wife can trust that I'm going to be present for her? Boy, that's a whole new identity for me. It's not something with which I am comfortable. It's not something with which I do very easily, but I need to have a new identity. And what about a new name? I thought about this congregation. So I have given you a new name. If you looked at the bulletin, you saw just the initials. And so I thought, well, maybe we should name you guys. Not my place. I'm just going to suggesting. What if we became, or you guys became known as the Warwick River Wrestling Congregation, or church? You could put a C there for the final C. Where this is a place where people know that they could come. Yet now, all through this, I said, my wife never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. She put up with me, yes, but did not give up on me. And that's the place where I see the church needing to be. Well, we never give up on people. People may walk in, or people maybe even over here have these weird ideas. We think we should be doing X, Y, and Z. And then the logical person or the problem solving person, yeah, we can't do that. We don't have the budget, whatever the answers are. But we agree as a congregation that we're going to wrestle with the issues that get brought before our body or brought into our body. And there are a plethora of those. There's a lot of cultural issues that the church is wrestling with right now. And I'm not saying throw those out. I'm saying bring them here and wrestle with them. Trust each other. Believe each other. And even though we may have a weird idea to come in, we still accept love and we wrestle with it. We don't give up. We don't let go of what it is we're wrestling with, and we don't let go of those people that maybe are fringish or maybe cause us to be strained, like I'm strained oftentimes with the liberalism of my children. Nothing wrong with it. They help me grow. Someone comes in, or someone who's part, maybe has a different idea, they help us grow. Wrestling with God. Warwick River wrestling congregation, my challenge for you today.